Our lectionary epistle lesson for this Sunday is Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. I'll be reading from the third chapter of Philippians, beginning with the fourth verse and reading through verse 14. I invite you to listen to the Word of God as we hear these words from the pen of the Apostle Paul. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the sharing of His sufferings by becoming like Him in His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus the Christ. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During the time that Teresa Richard and I lived in Paris, where I served as the associate pastor at the American Church there, we were fortunate enough to be able to take a trip to the beautiful capital of the Czech Republic, Prague. This would have been somewhere around 1992 or 93. Remember, the Berlin Wall fell, I think, in 1989. So, though Western influence had already made inroads into this recently freed country, the vestiges of another life and time were evident. On the one hand, in the magnificent state-maintained museums and municipal buildings, which are truly magnificent. And surely those of you who have been there would attest to that. But on the other hand, at this point in time, in the drab and often run-down buildings and homes, in the poorly maintained road system, in the rusted-out automobiles you saw everywhere. We were the guests of the Jerica family, paying guests, that is, as they occasionally provided room and breakfast for individuals or couples recommended to them, our introduction coming through some friends in Paris. Jan, his wife Mary, their son whose name I can't remember, and Mary's mother were gracious hosts, taking us around the city of which they were justifiably proud. And though their English was shaky, Jan's was pretty good. Our Czech non-existent, still we were able to sense the incredible change they had experienced during the previous 5 or 6 years. At the time, Jan was a professor in a local university, making about $300 a month, a decent wage under communist rule when prices were controlled. But under the new system, they were finding it harder and harder to live on his salary. Thus, their foray into the bed and breakfast business. Surely it says something that we paid him more for 5 nights bed and breakfast than he made in a month in the university. Jan and Mary shared with us the conditions under which they had lived for most of their lives. Soldiers always nearby, everyday items scarce, often lacking basic necessities, lacking the freedom to move about with the ease to which we are accustomed, having to worship clandestinely to escape suspicion from the authorities. They were just then beginning to enjoy some of the privileges we Westerners take for granted. The Jurikas insisted that we be their dinner guests our last evening in Prague. And I will never forget the prayer, the grace Jan prayed before the meal. If anyone had reason to boast in the Lord, so to speak, as did Paul, it was Teresa and myself, Americans, with all the abundance and opportunity being born an American carries with it, with the freedom to travel as we pleased, though not wealthy by American standards, wealthy beyond compare according to Eastern European standards, a pastor in a Protestant church in Paris. And yet, if anyone understood and incorporated the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord, it was Jan. And I say this simply because of a prayer, a grace before our meal together. Jan prayed one of the most moving, sincere, thankful, profound prayers I have ever heard. True, the Jurica family may feel blessed because of what had happened in their lives recently, but Jan's prayer could only have come from a heart and a life which embraced Paul's words, "I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord." In other words, I am confident Jan's words and sentiment would have been prayed in 1988 before the fall of the Berlin Wall in just the same way as they were prayed when we were there. And once again, I was reminded that depth of character is a quality based not on outward circumstances, but comes from within, and is largely determined by the depth of one's relationship to his or her Creator. I was reminded that once again, peace and joy and fulfillment come not from positions held or degrees earned, but from a life of integrity and honor. Once again, I was reminded that to be truly human, one need not be in a position of power or privilege, but one must have the love and respect of family and friends. Not that power or position or wealth are inherently bad, but they are not enduring, and ultimately they are not what brings fulfillment in life. That's what I believe Jan understood in a way that I am still learning. At the end of his spoken blessing, prayed in his broken English, he and Mary, their son, and Mary's mother, joined in singing a traditional Czech blessing in their own language, and we were warmed to recognize the tune as Hymn to Joy, the tune to which we sing, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee." Jan and Mary expressed much anxiety about what the changes taking place in Prague meant long term for their country, for them. And though we didn't talk specifically about the Bible, I am confident that Jan is intimately familiar with Paul's letter to the Philippians, especially those words we read. "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Jan realized that life is a journey, and regardless of the changes that may lay before him and his family, he knew that Christ Jesus had made him his own. And therefore, he continued to press on toward the goal of God's call in Jesus Christ. Indeed, here we are, some more than 20 years removed from that experience. So I would not be surprised if Jan and Mary had already claimed that crown of righteousness.